Give me a fish.
Should we start the podcast with that? You know, just you going, give me a fish! I'm quite far away here, isn't it?
Yeah.
When was the last time you caught a fish?
When I was about 12.
Yeah, you know what? I can't actually ever remember. I know I've been involved in fishing trips.
Yeah.
But I like to call myself, because quite squeamish when it comes to death of animals. I was a vegetarian for many years.
You were?
I was.
I did not know this about you.
We're learning new things. I was a vegetarian for 3 years.
Wow, how'd that go?
You
lose weight?
No, I ate lots of cheese. I probably put on weight.
So you were not vegan, you're just vegetarian.
I watched a documentary called Earthlings, which is horrifying. I don't know how much. And it's it shows all these terrible treatment of animals all around the world, and it's narrated by Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, nice.
And then it's not nice. And then it scared me. I would have been like 22, 23. And it scared me into being a vegetarian, not a vegan, for 3 years. And then one day I was out.
You had a BLT and you were like, actually.
No, I had a real stressful day. I was doing a job and I had to drive out to the Waikato, and my car broke down, and then I missed a whole day of appointments. They were quite important, and I was quite stressed out. And then I had to go with the tow truck driver to this random somewhere in some bumfuck nowhere in the Waikato. I had to go to the workshop, and I was like, and I was starving. I was like, is there anything to eat around here? And they were like, yeah, there's a bakery across the road. So I went to the bakery across the road.
Pies.
And then there was like, so when you go to, when you're a vegetarian and you go to places like that, you're like, I can have a cheese sandwich. And then I just saw a steak and cheese. I was like, nah, fuck that. And went with steak and cheese, and that was the end of my vegetarian days.
Steak and cheese is pretty good.
I never looked back. Steak and cheese.
Yep.
It's a New Zealand institution. Yeah, no, but now I don't really. It was a long time ago.
Mm.
When you're old, you get to have lots of strange experiences.
I think I decided pretty early on, don't look too much. Like, and sometimes ignorance is kind of bliss.
You don't want to look too much.
I remember when I was 21 and living in China, I used to go to this one restaurant all the time, and they made really good food, I thought, as a 21-year-old. And then one day I looked into the kitchen and I was like, I wish I hadn't seen the state of that kitchen.
Yeah.
I didn't really go back after
look,
that.
I don't, does this sound racist?
But yes.
the name of my story. The Jody, does this sound racist? The Jody O'Sullivan story.
Yeah.
But often when I'm in Asian restaurants, nice Asian restaurants, the state of the toilets can be, and in all parts of Asia as well, the state of the toilets can be pretty fucking horrifying with pretty intensely rank smells. And you're just like, and it just makes everything else feel gross once you come out of there. Is it, you would have experienced some pretty horrific bogs in your time.
I lived in China for 7 years, so I got a pretty good read on, you know, you don't want to go to certain, like, toilets in the subway where there's just people coming and going and desperately in need of a shit. Like, don't go there.
And they're not going to tidy up after themselves.
If you can go to like a nice shopping mall.
Sometimes you just got to go though.
Sometimes you just got to go. That's it. When you got to go, you got to go. Like the guy on the plane. You.
That's yeah, right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, that's horrible. I felt bad. I won't tell you what I do for a job, but I have to go to places that have lots of people, don't I?
Porn star.
Exactly. Fluffer. And then I had to go to this this tiny little community, and I was just dying for a shit all the way there. And then I was just like, I just met these people, and I was feeling, and I was just like, you know when you need a shit so bad, you're kind of sweating, and you're just uncomfortable. And I was like, do you mind if I just go use your loo? And then and there's no, and it's like super exposed in the area where it was, and there was no other loos, and there was a lot of people, and there was no way to come back from that. I felt like I just felt, it was such a bad shit. I felt bad about myself, and I felt like that kind of wrecked the rest of my experience at that particular area.
Where was that?
Up north. And this is the high quality, highbrow content you get on 2 Cents.
This is just rugby podcast.
Rugby's greatest.
Rugby's greatest podcast.
You can call it the greatest. Yep. You just call it the greatest. Anyway, how are you, Mark?
Yeah, pretty good.
Come on.
I don't know. Not that much has been going on. I'm still a bit sleep deprived from the Six Nations.
Yeah, it really does a number on you, doesn't it?
Early wake ups.
Well, at least you get to watch them all like hot and live and all that sort of thing.
It is nice to watch them live because spoilers suck.
I got spoiled.
There's certain games that if you like the Italian game this weekend, if I'd been spoiled to that, it would have taken a lot of the flavor out of it against the Irish. The Scottish result against the English, if I'd known the result, that would have taken a lot of the juice out of it. So
both of the games got spoiled for me this week, but we can talk about that. And then the French game didn't get spoiled for me, but Logic spoiled that one for me.
Logic.
It's like there's no way that a logical man would come to the conclusion that Wales is going to win that game.
Yeah, even I got up pretty late for that one and just watched the first half kind of semi on fast forward and skipping because I was just like, I can get an extra 40, 50 minutes sleep in here if I watch.
Absolutely. Look, you know I like talking about rugby with you.
But you like to warm up into it.
Yeah, should we pump the brakes for a second here?
Yeah.
But I asked you how you are and you said you're tired due to a rugby thing.
It's all connected.
It is all connected. Okay, can you tell me some unrelated rugby personal story?
Something unrelated to rugby?
Mm.
Everything relates back to rugby.
It's all sad. Rugby.
Sad.
It's all rugby. We both got sick daughters at the moment.
Yeah.
I had to stay home with my kid today.
I kept my daughter home today as well. I think she was all right, though.
I think mine was all right, too,
She probably could have gone. You know, when you first wake up in the morning, you feel like absolute shit.
And when you'll be the gunkiest you're going to be all day.
A little gunk gets out of you. You're like, you're not that bad.
Yeah, by 10 o'clock, I was like,
could have gone.
She went to dancing at 4 o'clock.
My daughter went swimming.
Yeah, I didn't take mine. She had swimming as well at 5, but I was like, we're not doing swimming.
Mm.
That's not happening. If there's going to be a way to bring the gunk back.
It's the swimming. Yeah, well, I was walking my daughter to pick up my son from school, and on the walk, she was like, ooh, I'm not sure if I'm feeling that well. I was like, well, I guess you probably can't go swimming later. She's like, no, actually, I'm feeling all right.
Do you reckon she'll be trying it on tomorrow morning?
She better not.
Even try it on? Or you'd be like, you are going to school.
She might try it.
I was chronic, absolute chronic at pulling sickies. I pulled sickies all the time when I was a kid. Did you do a lot of them? Or you?
I pulled them a few times. I would just fake vomit. Because my parents basically had that if you vomited, you've got a get a jail free card. So I would just go into the bathroom and make vomiting noises. And they'd be like, all right, you can stay home.
All right.
Yeah.
You conniving, little so-and-so. My parents would ask to see it.
Really?
Yeah. They wouldn't believe me. They wouldn't believe me if just making some noises.
I suppose so. I remember once as a recent university graduate, I went out with my mates and we were just, we did the ultimate mixing of drinks.
Yeah.
We started on beers and then we ran out of beers. So we just drank some spirits and we drank them dry and all that was left was a bottle of wine. So we drank wine. And I just remember the next morning, just the worst vomiting
I've
ever had in my life. Yeah, it was a white wine.
Oh, like a salve or something.
And then I just
remember... You don't do nightcaps of salves,
I remember my mum through the bathroom door, are you all right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm never drinking again.
Leave me alone. Yeah. I had that experience. One of my first drinking experiences was with whiskey. Just drank way too much. Stole a bottle of whiskey with me and one of my good mates. Stole a bottle of whiskey out of his dad's cupboard. And then my cousin came around as well. And then we all smashed a bottle of Scrumpies. We would have been 13, 14. Don't do it, young people watching. And then we ended up, it was two-thirds of a bottle left. And we just ended up just shooting it. This is how people drink whiskey. Just shot. And then had the best half an hour.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And then his mum turned up. And she was
a buzzkill.
Yeah, total buzzkill. My cousin sprinted off. And then she was talking to us and we were just out of it. And then I can't remember what happened after that, but then I just woke up because we were in his kind of rumpus room, but I woke up on his gross couch with a face full of whiskey stinking vomit. And it was just and then I didn't drink whiskey for good 18 years after that. I drink whiskey now.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't stand the smell of it whatsoever.
Vodka did that to me. I had a good decade off vodka due to some vomiting. So. Yeah,
I don't like vodka much.
Yeah, I wouldn't really choose to drink it. It wouldn't be my go-to drink, but I'll drink it if it's there.
I don't mind gin.
I still don't think I've ever had gin.
You've never had a gin and tonic?
I don't think I've ever had gin.
Fair, really?
Yeah. People keep telling me to have gin.
Gin's good.
Mm. My aunt drinks gin. She's like, have a fucking gin.
Yeah, gin and tonics. Have a mean gin and tonic. We could have a gin and tonic right now if you really wanted one.
We'll see how the night pans out.
I can get one. I've got a sort of.
Is it a beef eater?
I know there's a beef eater. I've got a gin and soda in a can.
Classy.
Yeah. You want one? Well, should we have a new experience? I'll go get it, eh?
Okay.
All right. This is fuck going.
Play some elevator music.
You talk to them about rugby or something.
Okay. So, I watched rugby at the weekend.
I think I've got some left.
Yeah. This is a organized podcast, and there's a reason there's usually two of us talking to each other. But yeah, gin. I'll happily try a gin. My aunt, who drinks the gin, she's not even really much of a drinker. She basically only drinks Baileys and gin. So yeah, I'll happily try some gin. I used to drink a lot of rum, but my GP one day told me not to because of like molasses or something. I don't remember the exact reasons, but he said you should be drinking better stuff than rum. Do you drink rum?
Yeah, I love rum.
There you go. My GP told me not to drink rum.
Your GP?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to close the sliding door.
He's back off again. He's probably not going to edit this part out either. He does the editing. I'm sorry to be wasting valuable seconds of your life.
It's quality stuff. I've only got one, so you have the one.
Okay.
But I'll drink a Pals instead.
Okay.
You drinking any Pals?
No.
I should probably be on the microphone, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you're just talking into air. Which one's me?
So that's you.
Scapegoat. Scapegrace.
Scapegrace.
Mm. Dry gin. Premium dry gin. Small batch. Oh, I've got a small batch.
Yeah, you sure do.
Yuzu lemon. What the
missus tells me.
What's a yuzu lemon?
I don't know.
Is it like a Japanese lemon?
I've got a vodka drink.
Are we just talking about vodka?
There we go. I've got a Pals. Central Otago peach, passion fruit and soda vodka. So that's going to go well. We're really mixing things up today, aren't we? So this is going to be a big experience. Your first ever
greatest podcast. What can I say?
It really is. Lydia was worried about you. She was like, why is Mark talking to himself?
He's a strange man.
Strange fellow. Yep, so this is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting once we get through those.
Are we doing both the beers and then the other one?
Well, no. You can. You're
if you want to finish off watching that episode that we started last week, then I can stay a little bit longer.
Oh, which one?
The Night of the...
Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Yeah. They just released another episode I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
I'm dying to watch it. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Have you watched any more since?
No.
So good.
Yeah, I'm willing to finish that first episode if you want to go for the extra drink. I'll need a bit of processing time, that's all.
Well, okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
We're planning the night out while you guys are here.
Yeah, exactly. And you're thinking to yourself, why am I listening to this? And that's a
good question.
That's a fair question. I don't know why are you watching this. Should we probably get on with talking about rugby?
Rugby's greatest rivalry.
Oh, yeah, that's
in
right.
Rugby's greatest championship.
The self-proclaimed.
Featuring what was, I think, thought to be rugby's potentially greatest team has been brought back down to earth.
Yeah, in a big way. In a big way. How about it? France versus Wales.
I don't know that many English fans who were like, we are the fucking bee's knees, but the media seemed to be blowing a lot of smoke up Steve Borthwick's ass.
No, I was blowing smoke up Steve Borthwick's ass. And look, it's one bad... I don't think you need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm. One bad day at the office.
They got
12 wins in a row leading into this game, and you have got to be a high-quality team. Playing some of the best opposition in the world.
Beat us?
They beat us. They haven't played South Africa in that run of 12, but pretty much beat everyone else, or beat everyone that was put in front of them for the last 12 games. So they're absolutely a high-quality side.
Mm.
But Scotland just went fucking all Scottish on them. Yeah. Like how they were just lightning out of the gates.
What was the initial? It was like 17-0.
Yeah, quick time as
penalty,
well.
Penalty, try.
Yeah, and really nicely constructed, well-crafted, well-earned tries.
Yeah.
They looked like they were having the collision dominance in a massive way. Passes were sharp. Finn Russell was at his mercurial best. That
fucking slap pass.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was about to get smoked by Roebuck. Roebuck saw it and he was like,
yeah, he read it pretty well.
He read it perfectly and he had enough time to get him if he catches and passes.
You just got to tip your cap and say, well, you got me there. You know, like, and
what can you do?
Oftentimes you see blokes where they just do that big swing and then it, even someone like Finn Russell, it's coming off 50-50. But when it comes off.
It was still kind of an awkward pass.
Yeah.
For Hugh Jones had to, you know, he had to take it with a bit of skill.
Hugh Jones gets two on the night and then gets the, the one that was just from defensive pressure and the forward charge down. But both sides of the ball, I think the first half was just a great example of, you know, their attacking tenacity and how ferocious they can play with ball in hand. And then the opposite was true on defense. I thought they were absolute dogs on defense in that second half because it felt like the English had actually gone, well, fuck, we've got to put a stop to this, and really started to may have been a little bit slow off the mark in the first half. They definitely came to the races in the second, but they just got sent away time after time. The yellow
card was obviously pretty badly exploited from an English perspective because they scored 14 points while Arundel was in the bin.
Yeah.
So they certainly used the width. That's what we didn't see from Scotland against the Italians a week before, because the rain was such that they didn't really get a chance to show what these exact same backline starting players could do.
Well, what is it about? Like, I just want to talk to you about what is it about the English team that makes Scotland just get so fucking fired up for?
Mm.
But before I say that, first yellow card to Arundel
was a bit bullshit.
I thought it was a great bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were all very, it was a very satisfying result.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very much happy with the result. But the fact that that ended up leading to a red card as well, I think the second yellow was absolutely worth it.
See, like, I feel like the ref maybe felt a pang of regret when he saw the second one happen, because he initially called it like, just a penalty. And then Timo was like, all right, you want me to have a look at it? I think he was probably having a little bit of, oh, fuck.
Well, it just, because the penalty, the yellow card he gets done for, even if you think he didn't release, in no way did it look like a cynical action. You know how you see sometimes a guy when there's, because it came from a breakaway.
I guess it's the whole line break opportunity, not allowing the opposition quick ball. You do see that sometimes, but it didn't feel like
that. It didn't feel like he was doing anything particularly nefarious, like a hand in the ruck or something like that. Or
sometimes it's blatant, like a guy is lying on the ground and just like...
Yeah, you just fall over it.
Falls over it, puts his hand on it, whacks it out, whatever. It's blatant.
He was just going for a traditional turnover
Even if he did get his timing wrong, or if he didn't release cleanly, or if he got his arms past the ball, or whatever it was, I don't think it was full on Knights of Yellow.
You see heaps of those not caught at all and not questioned. So it was the fact that he saw it as a not release and thought, okay, it's a penalizable offence and a breakout situation. I've got no other options other than to give the yellow card. That's unfortunate. It was just unfortunate, really.
I mean, the second one was pretty blatant.
Yeah, that was fucking nasty.
Yeah. If he'd gotten away with the second one, that would have been even more egregious, I think.
100%.
But, yeah, it's unfortunate for the game.
Yeah.
But I still think Scotland were looking sharp even without the cards. So
I think they'll win without the cards still.
Me as well.
Yeah, I think they were definitely the better team on the day. And what is it about Scotland that just gets, is it just the tribalism, the historic hate that the Scots can have for the English? You know, the flower of Scotland's all about shoving it up the ass of the English army, sending them back, and that was very much a symbolic of how that day went, really. The English went there like, you picked them, didn't you?
I picked Scotland by one.
Brave man. What game was it? Just like, this will just be Scottish to do it.
Yeah. Scotland, when they go in as favourites with expectations on them, almost invariably fuck it up.
But
when they're being absolutely written off and against England, I felt like if there's a time for Scotland, this is it.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. And they did very, very well. And Townsend was under a huge, enormous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
And he looked so satisfied.
Yeah, he was kind of trying to keep it under his lid for a while. Because I think he was like, we can still fuck this up.
Yeah, yeah.
17-0, and then England came back to what, 17-10? It's like, I've seen this story before.
They cut to him at the end, and he was drinking like a... I've never seen a man drink a cup of Joe looking more satisfied than himself. Like,
Especially because the journalists were just giving him assholes the whole week.
I think he was getting assholes from a lot of the rugby public over there. Like, he's been in the job for so long.
Yeah.
You know, things are not turning around. We've had our sort of great generation of Scottish talent, and we can't get better than a fucking third, and then we've already gone and blown the Six Nations versus Italy. But as we saw, Italy are a fucking top quality, a real top quality squad at the moment. Yep.
And one thing I do love about the Six Nations, is rugby's it, greatest championship, rugby's is that
championship.
It's always good for a result like that.
Mm.
I don't think there's any Six Nations where I've just gone in and just like the favorite just wins every fucking game.
Mm.
It just doesn't usually happen that way. Somebody slips up somewhere. Scotland is, I feel like, overrepresented in their like banana skin nature, either being the team that rolls the team supposed to beat them or them getting rolled.
Yeah, you could see them lose to Wales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, I think they got Wales. Yeah, they have Wales away next week. If there's a week, they're going to lose it.
That's them.
It's because they're back with the expectations. I still think they'll win, but, you know, it would be so Scottish to just be like, well...
Well, we got to finally get Wales back on track. Holy shit. Yeah. But a real entertaining game.
Finn Russell was silky, man, in the first half especially, silky. Gliding through tackles, setting up plays. He put in that little dink through, Genji.
All the time in the world, just was able just to like play with the defenders with absolute ease. He's so class to watch. He's so fun to watch when he's like he's in that sort of mood.
He seemed like, for a team which had so much pressure on it, and remember he missed kicks last year which kind of cost them the result, you would think like if there's a game where there's a guy with pressure on it, it's this one. But he you wouldn't have known it.
What's this other thing that he does?
I don't know.
Yeah, a great result. And England, we didn't see much out of them. There were people criticising them last week, and I thought that was a bit rough. They pumped the Welsh by 50.
The only thing about England last week was they left too many points out there.
Do you think that they just came out in like believing a little bit too much of their own hype, thinking, hey, look, we're in winning form. We just got to keep that up. We got to go into it, and like didn't actually give enough credit to how fired up the Scots would have been to come out, especially after a disappointing defeat to the Italians?
Maybe a bit shell-shocked. I thought they responded reasonably well to the initial yellow. Like, to go from being 17-0 down to bring it back to 17-10 is a pretty good response.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like anywhere near like the game was over by that point, but then the red card.
Yeah. That was
tough. Extra deflating than the Genji when he fucks up the kick through. Like, there's just two, and then they just dropped a lot of ball.
Yeah, they did drop a lot of ball. A lot of, especially in that second half, they were in attacking positions and being met with real stout defence from the Scottish.
Some of it is the defence forcing the errors.
Just at the breakdown, little fumbles at the breakdown and things like that.
Yeah, Mitchell had a couple of snipes. I think he got like turned over or knocked it on, and it was just like, yeah, all those little things started adding up.
Well, it felt like they, at least in the second half, they had the bit between their teeth. You know,
when George Ford set for the drop goal, it felt like they were like they had all the momentum.
Yeah,
like Scotland were doing their defensive shift, but it felt like they're going to give at some point. And then Ford slotting for the drop here, because you've seen it so many times.
Yeah, he's a specialist.
It was just like, oh, okay, well, that's credit to the Scottish defense.
Ferguson,
he'll take the three, and at least England come up with some points. But boom,
Ferguson gets in the way, and then the man with the most Welsh name possible. Doesn't play for Wales.
Support line
and goes the length. And then there's a bit of afters there as well. Yeah. Things got a bit spicy.
A bit fiery. Which is what you want to see when you're watching rugby's greatest rivalry.
A little bit of chili on that haggis.
I keep saying that because, as you mentioned, it was the title on the YouTube highlights page.
Yeah, there's a bloke wrote me an email. Thank you for your email, sir, saying, they're trying to wind us up. Because he sent me the highlights package saying rugby's greatest rivalry. Which is what this All Blacks and the South Africans have coined their
upcoming series this year.
The greatest rivalry. Because you can call anything the greatest if you want to. because there's two things gets distracted.
It's rugby's greatest podcast.
It's rugby's greatest podcast. Only during Six Nations time.
Yeah,
that's just a rugby podcast. It's just
a rugby podcast. If you want to sponsor it.
You are sponsoring rugby's greatest podcast.
Use my email. We got more views during the Six Nations, 100%. Probably.
Also, we need to apologize for a little bit of a technical error last week. I re-recorded the podcast normally. This is especially an apology to our audio listeners, and thank you for letting us know.
Yeah, I got an email about that as well.
Yeah, I got a lot of messages because I upload. I have to make a little special thumbnail for the podcast side of it, for the audio. Uploaded the RSS feed, wrote a fucking thing out, boom, 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 boom. Uploaded last week's audio file. And so, then got on a plane and got the fuck out of here and got away from my computer.
So no access to his computer. No access to my
computer to change it. So it would have been up there for a good 24 hours or so before I could
get it fixed.
Yeah, and Lid just fixed it.
She's a champ.
What a ledge. What a ledge.
That's why you're marrying her.
Yes, absolutely. Just for audio.
Give her a producing credit.
Audio assistance. Yeah. Anyway, there was other rugby on. Anything else to say about that?
England scored a late try.
Ah, yes, which apparently you were saying to me, because I was only just watching this recently, you were like, this try really upset the Italians. Yeah. And I was like, why? And then I watched the try and I worked out why, because that was it looked like it was very much out of the hand forward. Whereas in Italy versus Ireland, rugby's greatest rivalry, there was a try that looked like it was definitely backwards out of the hand. Even Holly Davidson, I feel like, felt that way as well. Should we talk more about the game before we focus on that little bit of controversy?
Scotland bonus point.
Fucking, are they out of it? Could they be the first team to win the Six Nations
after losing early? Did anyone correct us on that stat?
Nobody corrected us, so maybe it must be true. Real thing. Maybe. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Up your Scotland, just got to beat Wales next week.
Yeah.
This week.
Yes, this coming week. Good luck. I would love to see Wales beat you. Only because I feel for Wales.
Yeah.
Love an underdog.
They have a hard time.
That's why it was so good to watch them win.
Ireland did play Italy.
Yes.
It's only a 7-pointer.
Two things here.
Two things.
Number one, Italy.
Have a good scrum.
I have a fucking great scrum. Maybe rugby's greatest shit team.
Yeah.
They're making a play for that cover to Tusi Gidi already.
Yeah.
They are looking real good. Like, after beating Scotland, who just, if you play rugby math, therefore Italy are better than England.
England beat us.
Yeah.
We beat the Box.
And then they're also better than the All Blacks. Yeah. And they're better than South Africa if you play rugby math. Wow. This is amazing from Italy. But they looked fantastic out there. They are not the easy beats that people are still in the media talking about them being. They are a high-quality side with a really, really big, mobile, physical forward pack and some classy backs. That, you know, Capuzzi wasn't there, but the number 15, who's he now?
Pani.
Shit, a brick. He is class.
Yeah, he didn't even start the week before. He was on the bench, so he had to get a start.
So good. He had some moments you were just like, damn, son, is this the best player in the world? He looked magnificent, and I can't think of a player that played particularly badly.
Mm.
And then on the flip side of that, Ireland, you know, we've spoken a fair bit about, we think that they may be tailing off the golden era that they've had for the last
decade or so. I've been hesitant to get on that bandwagon.
I've been saying it for a while.
Yeah. But, they were pushed. The fact that Tadhg Furlong got driven airborne.
Oh, that scrum.
That's fucking scary for Ireland.
How good is the Italian scrum?
The English scrum was very good against Scotland. That was the one area They did force a lot of penalties against the Scots. That was the one area. Like, Scotland was like, if you concede another penalty at scrum time, you're getting a yellow card.
Yeah, that's right.
And they managed to hold off. But the Italian scrum monstered the Irish.
How crap is the Ireland scrum?
Yeah, what the fuck?
They got absolutely pounded by the South Africans.
When I saw that, I was like, year. Yeah, South Africa does that to everybody.
Yeah, well, not to that degree.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, where it was almost like the South Africans had a vendetta against the Irish, and also a vendetta against the spirit of rugby. during that game, to make everyone fucking suffer through that. Next time, I'd rather somebody pissed in my eyeballs than watch that game again. We're talking about South Africa versus Ireland.
That game was shit.
Oh, God, it was painful. Anyway, the Ireland versus Italy was not painful, but Ireland have been getting regularly minced, absolutely put in blenders at scrum time.
They do have a few props out, but Furlong.
Furlong, he was like getting put on a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
It was like...
That was...
It was on a rocket ship. That was...
Troubling.
He's meant to be world class.
Yeah.
Is he... How old... Like, they're meant to be all right when they get a bit older, the big boys.
Yeah. I don't know. He seems to be... He's had so many injury niggles with, like, his calves.
Yeah.
And just seems to be maybe not at the level that he used to be, old Twinkle Toes Tig.
And then Porter last year got pummeled.
Yeah, he wasn't in playing in this game because he and a couple of the other guys are out injured. But
yeah,
it's very troubling because especially they played two fucking big locks. Like they played McCarthy and Ryan, who are both big physical units. They didn't start like Tyke Byrne,
who's
not quite as powerful a scrummager in the second row, and they were still getting minced.
Absolutely. And it's just you in the current nature of the way rugby is played in 2026, with how many scrums are actually getting created, especially due to all the box kicks that no one ever catches, like scrums are everywhere. Like, and if you can't
well, Scott's show you could still win without a dominant scrum.
Yeah. Well, they're just getting it in, getting it out. Maybe and the Drua do that. The Fijians are really good at just get in and get it out.
It's when it's on the opposition feed that you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think Scotland, after they got their yellow card warning for, you know, if you concede another scrum penalty, I don't think they knocked it on again.
Yeah.
Like, they were still going for high balls and whatnot, but Kyle Steyn was just, like, catching everything. It's like, I was surprised. Like, you guys keep throwing these fucking contestable high balls up. If you knock it on, you're going to get a yellow card. But they just kept catching them.
Yeah. I know. Well, it's good to see people actually catching high balls, though. You know?
That is nice.
God, I'm sick of box kicks.
Liner got a yellow card for the old one-handed deliberate knock-on.
Yeah.
And the Irish punished.
Yes.
Osborne got a try. I liked McCloskey with the kind of spinorama and pop ball.
Yeah, very nice.
That was a punishing of a yellow card.
And the number, the 28-year-old, the winger that I haven't seen a huge amount of, what's his name? Number 14 for Bellicoon. The Irish.
Yeah. Is he 28?
Apparently he's 28.
Holy fuck, he's still quick for 28. Yeah,
he's been around the traps for a wee while.
He's been injured for so long.
Yeah, a few injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, he was really impressive.
Yeah, he got man of the match.
Did he?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I didn't put any of the men of the match in my team of the week. What the fuck?
Oh, mate, you're really off the boil. I've always said that. I've
got my own opinions.
Yeah, yeah. He's got his own.
You got my stats.
He's got his own two cents on things.
Oh, shit.
That's all we have him on.
Yeah, the
two cents constructed. Rugby's greatest podcast.
Then the Irish got a yellow card, which was kind of unlikely because Craig Casey is the smallest man on the pitch, and yet he managed to face on face.
What do you think of this?
Tackle.
A lot of vodka drinking.
Did you see his face after he got yellow carded with the cotton shoved up his nose? The wee Irish halfback.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to you until you mentioned him with his two things up his nose, looking like he was having the worst moment of his life.
Not only
is
my face fucked, but I've been yellow carded.
I've been yellow carded, and there's an extreme close up on me looking.
My mangled face.
My mangled face. And there's some smart ass commentator going.
Right up there.
Commentator going, well, he's looked better. Yeah. It was a yellow card, but you got a feel for the guy. He's just like a giant fucking human is running me right now. I'm gonna try and just put my arms out. I would do the same. Just put my arms out and just fucking close my eyes and think of something, a better time of my life, and get absolutely pummeled. And that's basically what he did. And you get
carded.
You get carded for that.
Italians scored. Nicotero the hooker. I meant the Italians had a lead at halftime, 10-5. Game on. Pressure on Ireland. The crowd was quiet.
Yeah, the commentators kept on talking about how weirdly quiet the ground was at the ground. Because you think about the Irish, you know, buoyant people we are. But apparently not. Just sort of sitting in a weird state of acceptance of being not as good as they once were, perhaps. I'm not too sure. And then in the second half, obviously Ireland play better, but
Conan got a kind of ugly-ish close range one, which is you know, that's a rugby try.
Yeah, you do that. But they certainly didn't look like it didn't look like an Ireland versus Italy try a year or 2 years ago.
No,
no game. Sorry, not try. But
I did like the third Irish try where McCloskey was getting tackled and then he American football passed it to your man Bellicoon, and he put on some speed. That's not a try you see every day. That was quite
cool. That was nice. It was inventive. Yeah. It showed a bit of creativity and, and like, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit. But probably the most controversial part of the game, and if you're an Italian, you would feel the most bitter about this, the non-forward-forward pass. Out of the, well, drifted forward.
It definitely drifted forward.
It's one of those old-school ones. You're like, oh, clearly you could pass before the 22, win over the 22.
Yeah.
But that's not the rule.
Yes.
Out of the hand, backwards.
Isn't it? I think World Rugby literally has a video on that where there's a guy running at full tilt, and he just chucks it. And
throws
the,
it over his head backwards.
Yeah.
And it goes, the ball still drifts forward.
Because that's how physics works.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you can tell, like, he throws the pass, and then when he catches it, the guy, he's still in front of the guy who catches it.
He doesn't keep running, I don't think, at full tilt. He eases off, but he's still in front of the ball.
Yeah.
That, for me,
it is definitely looked like it had a
if it had gone forward out of the hands, it should be forward from the guy throwing the ball.
Yeah, and this isn't a criticism at all of the matchday referee, Holly Davidson, because who I thought was out. I thought she was really good.
When the TMO called it to her, she was like in a very doubtful tone saying, are you sure it's clear and obvious? And the TMO was like,
clear and obvious.
Clear and obvious. So she's like, all right.
And then captain of Italy, what's his name?
Michele Lamaro.
Was like, you know, questioning it because he's only seeing what we're all seeing going.
And he was asking the whole momentum question as well.
And her response was, well, clearly
the TMO's got a better angle. The TMO's got a better view of it or something.
I've got a view of it. We don't have it.
Yeah.
And we had.
She's kind of just saying, it's not my decision.
Yeah, 100%. Because you got there was an aerial one where you can kind of you see the original trajectory. There's the side on. You see the original trajectory.
Yeah.
I don't know where the special camera is that only the that the TMO has access to. Would really like World Rugby to show that angle to us if they had the opportunity to do that. But yeah, that was a bit rough.
It's definitely not clear and obvious. For my
It was backwards all day, all week, all year.
That sucked. Because that was a key moment as well.
Oh, a huge moment. Because were they taking the lead or were they
I think that would have would that have got them back into the lead? I think it was after the Conan try because Conan scored quite early on. So,
and considering they lost by 7 points.
Yeah. It's kind of a brutal one for the Italians.
Are you, as an Irish fan, are you feeling better or worse after this week?
I still think you're a bit uncertain. You're a bit. I think the fact that England lost makes you feel a little bit better that, well, maybe we could still win.
Yeah, right.
Because Italy beat Scotland. Scotland just beat England.
Yeah. So they're
we
not,
beat Italy.
So you know that Ireland. Sorry, you know that England aren't sprinting away just at the stage. And so you think Scotland did you a bit of a solid, but still everyone's peeking over their shoulder.
There's still some questions to be asked. I mean, I still don't. I know everyone likes to lay into old Sam Prendergast.
Yeah.
I don't think he covered himself in glory in that game.
No.
And Crowley, apart from that kick he fucked up at the end, looked better around the park than Sam. Because remember, he kicked it dead when they were chasing the fourth try, the
just
Irish.
Just a little bit. Like, good players play with time. But he plays like he's trying to play with time and he's always had time his entire whole life in his career because he's been good enough. But just at this level, he's getting caught out.
It's a bit too quick.
Yeah.
That happens to a lot of guys.
Yeah. And like those deaf little passes and things sometimes look good, but sometimes they're going to the ground. And yeah, it's tough. And the thing I was going to say before is like, yeah, it was all well and good that England lost, but everyone's looking over their shoulders going, fucking France are looking pretty good right
now. Yeah, true.
All right, okay, before we talk about anything more, let's have your first gin experience.
Okay.
You're fucking bugging me. All right, you ready? He's
poor. What do you think of James Lowe?
I thought he played really well.
Yeah, because he's another guy under a heap of pressure. They're calling him James Slow.
Yeah.
And he did get that intercept right at the death, and he was never looking like running away.
No, but he's very strong. He keeps the ball in. His boot is still really, really good.
Yeah. I thought he played really well as well.
I thought he was tremendous.
He's got, like, even if he doesn't have the gas to burn guys like maybe he used to, if he gets himself into some space and isolated, he's so strong that he can hold himself up in the tackle until 100%. The guys arrive. So 100%. I thought that's a good skill.
James Lowe, James Lowe, that reminds me of this. You probably don't remember this, but North Harbour, he'd never play. I don't even think he ever played for the Blues. We used to have this winger called, and he was fine. He was solid, and he did what he needed to do, but he didn't have extreme pace.
Express pace.
Lars Lawrence or something like that?
I do not know that guy.
Lars Lawrence or something like that. I used to call him Slow Lawrence.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, it makes me think of my mate, Andrew Malloy. He found that very funny that I was like, fucking Slow Lawrence has got it.
Yeah, it's an unusual position to not have a bit of pace on the wing.
Yes. He played, he had a half decent sevens career.
Oh.
Lars Lawrence. Slow Lawrence. What was his name?
You're going to Google it.
Yeah, Lars.
I'll have my gin while you do that.
I'm getting his name.
Gin.
Rugby. How was it?
Oh.
Czar Lawrence. That's right.
Czar Lawrence. Yeah, probably likes a bit of gin.
Yeah, Czar Lawrence. I used to call him Slow Lawrence. What do you think?
It's not a very potent taste. It's quite subtle.
Yeah. It's a good drink. You should drink it.
Okay, I'm going to drink that.
All right, you should. Czar Lawrence. Hold on.
Does it say, also known as Slow Lawrence?
Oh, Czar. Now I've got them. La. This is high quality shit here.
Yes.
Czar Lawrence. Sometimes I should edit some shit out, shouldn't I?
You probably should, but you won't.
There he is, playing for the Sevens.
I do not remember that man at all.
Czar Lawrence.
Tony's showing pictures of a guy in rugby Sevens outfit.
He's in shape, isn't he?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're looking at topless photos of him now.
Yeah. He was in good shape. He doesn't look slow in the pictures. He looks quite fast, but they're still pictures, so it's hard to tell.
He was on the wing. Okay. Hope you're watching, Czar. Appreciate your service for the great province of North Harbour.
Mm.
Brilliant.
20 points to 13?
Unlucky. Unlucky for Italy.
They get a losing bonus point.
Probably maybe a fair result.
Maybe.
But the game's in Rome. Who wins it?
Yeah, Italy.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not, I think I didn't listen to your answer before, but as an Irish fan, are you feeling worse or better after this week? I think you're feeling worse, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think you're feeling worse. I think you're hoping that Andy, again, tinkers with the squad a touch, and you're hoping your scrum performs a shitload better against England.
So you're living on a prayer.
I'm halfway there. Still underdogs against England next week for sure.
You're against the underdogs? Do you think all that does is fires up the England loss and they're going to get fired up from that?
No, I think it'll be a good game, man. I think it'll be close.
But do you think that loss is a real kick in the teeth for England, that they're going to come out with full of vim and vigour after
it? I reckon England would have been more dangerous if they'd won.
You reckon they're like that
head of steam up, like, we are fucking invincible. We are going to smash you. Now there's like been a bit of a spanner in the works, so.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a clash.
It adds to the spicy.
The spicy, spicy.
The other game was Wales against France.
And we all knew how that was going to go.
That was 54-12. I like using the there's one site that has some stats about how long a team was in the lead.
Oh, like, yeah.
How long is a game of rugby, Tony?
I believe, from my 40 years of watching rugby, 80 minutes.
According to the website, France led that game for 82 minutes.
It's because they scored in a minute and a half, didn't they?
I think they scored, the first minute. The game went a little bit longer than the actual 80, so they led by 82 minutes.
Oh, jeez Louise. Yeah.
That game was... if you're the coach of Wales, I kind of get the logic where you just tell the guys, look, if we get the ball, just kick it fucking along into their half and see what happens. And what happened was the French guys just ran it back at them.
How they
have very fast wingers with any kind of width.
How are they feeling? How are they? Like, they've just turned into, like, this, not even, like, Romania, who just lost to Germany. Mm. If Wales is playing Romania tomorrow, I'd be like,
nah.
You reckon
it's not that bad?
You reckon it's not that bad?
It's not that bad.
Georgia versus Wales tomorrow?
Georgia versus Wales is a contest.
Yeah, right.
But yeah.
It's sad. It's so sad. I still feel like there were some
promising moments.
Scored a couple of tries.
They did score a couple of tries, and like there was a period of the second half where they stopped just fucking kicking it long. Mm. Like, I get it. Kick long, stay out of your own half. But I feel like putting contestable kicks, or at least having someone put pressure on the kick receiver, is better than just giving these guys a free run at you.
Mm.
Because they're so lethal. They can put the width on the ball so quickly.
I feel like they're just in this really, really rich vein of form. Mm. And if I think, I predict that England would win the Six Nations this year pre-tournament. But by far and away, I think France are the
better. I said Ireland second, though, so we'll see.
I know, you did, didn't you? I think France have definitely, by far and away, been the scariest team to watch. Like, the most attractive, so attractive, the rugby they're playing. Mm. Jellybear is playing the best rugby I've ever seen him play. Mm. I think Adesogbe is a serious. BLBRA, as I said, is still the best. Number 14 in the world for me.
He's on the left wing.
Well, 11, sorry, pardon me. He is. And then that midfield combination is looking great. And then they
switched up the midfield for this game as well, because both their midfielders last week were injured. So totally new midfield, although they played club rugby together.
Deporte.
Yeah, he was injured. So they played Gaëtan. He scored the first try. Gaëtan and Boire, or whatever.
Not even to mention the likes of Dupont, who can make any player in any facet of the game look silly.
Dupont did a behind the back pass.
Yeah.
He did out of the maul when it would look like the Welsh guys were going to turn them over at maul time. He did a one-handed rip pass because he couldn't get two hands on it to rip it out. He's like, fucking flick it out one-handed. Like, he was doing Finn Russell shit as well.
The presence of mind he has, you know.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time, you may, because you watch maybe more footy than I do, but when he said a brain fart. When he, like, you see Finn Allen, like, do mercurial shit, but you also see
that little Carl Spence. I think there was one Six where he fucked up I think he thought the clock was dead and he kicked it out against England. This might have been Eddie Jones's England, and then because he kicked it out thinking the game was over, England got the line out and then went to score, got a bonus point, and that bonus point won them the Six Nations a few weeks later. I think that was DuPont. But yeah, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, yeah.
He's both got the mercurial talent without the, like, catastrophic fuck-ups.
Yeah, yeah. With Finn Allen, you're going to see... Yeah. Not Finn Allen. Finn Allen's a cricketer.
Finn,
shove a Finn up my ass. Finn Scott McFucker.
That's the ghost.
Finn Haggis. Finn Jones. Finn Russell. Fuck. Gee, why'd you do that to me? That's the only thing I need you for. Fill in the names. Okay. Finn Russell.
Yep.
Every other week, he'll have some real brain farts out there. You know, but, you know, and then we get one side this week where you just got to stand and applaud.
Yeah.
But not with DuPont.
Yeah, he's pretty friggin' consistent.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Well, that was the Six Nations. Tell me the matchups for next week.
England are playing Ireland at Twickenham.
Tasty.
Wales are hosting Scotland at the Principality. I think they only sold like 54,000 tickets to the most recent game. So there was a lot of empty seats. And apparently part of what fucks that up is it fucks the clubs, because clubs, like local rugby clubs, get allocated tickets. They have to buy them from the Welsh Rugby Union.
Yeah.
And then they sell them. Yeah. But nobody wanted them. So it's actually the clubs.
They end up footing the bill.
That are out of pocket. Yeah.
Rough.
So that's like a double whammy for the Welsh club rugby.
Jeez, always. They've got to change that. So I guess it's very profitable for them when the team is doing. Because you can. Who wants to go see a team get pumped by 50 points every week?
Well, scored 2 tries.
Oh, get out.
That's more than they scored against England.
Yeah, I
think they played better than that. They got last try. Last try wins, anybody?
Yeah, maybe.
Add that to the competition.
Yeah. Some kind of extra. We're all happy with that.
Yeah, and France play Italy.
Okay.
I still feel like France, although they're more consistent than they used to be, they're still due a fuck-up game.
So you think this could be it with Italy?
I think they also have Scotland away.
Oh.
Yeah. France are due a banana skin. There's always one game where I feel like they underperform a bit. They haven't had that in the opening two.
See, it's interesting. You could definitely see a world... Well, I can't see a world where Scotland get beaten by Wales this year, because I feel like Wales are like performing at the level
if there's a team that can do it, it's Scotland.
You reckon?
I don't think it's likely, but if any of the teams are going to lose to Wales, it's Scotland. I think even maybe 10% more than
chance. 5% chance. Yeah. 1 in 20.
1 in 20 shot.
So this team,
things can happen, man. Cards, refereeing decisions. You know,
the Welsh remember that they're a great,
proud rugby nation.
Proud rugby nation. Where are their players, man?
Finn Russell has an off day. I think Jack Morgan's coming back.
Okay. But where are their other players?
Did you see the Adam Beard kick?
No.
There was...
I watched the highlights of this game.
So...
Talk me through
there's
it.
There's so many tries that you probably can't remember it.
No, I can't. I watched the highlights this morning.
So, France are hot on attack. Wales turn them over.
Uh-huh.
Turnover ball. Golden opportunity to attack.
Yeah.
The big, lanky Welsh lock ends up with the ball. Just first man next to the ruck. Decides, put a kick through.
I did see this.
He fucking air swings it. Your man, Ati Sogbe, pounces on it and then gives it to Jalibert, who gets a try. It was just like, what the fuck? It was as bad as last week. Maybe worse than the no-tap-tap. Like, Wales, come on, man.
We really want you to be good.
You can't be like... You can't gift them points.
Yeah.
If they score magic tries, that's one thing. But don't gift them points.
What's the pathway back for Wales from this absolute pit of shit they're currently in?
Normally I would say find some players with New Zealand grannies, but maybe they need South African grannies at this point.
Maybe. What? Like, they had that great... Huge amount of talent come through. I think their under-20s are going okay at the moment.
Yeah, the under-20s pushed England the week before, and they gave France a good game. They lost both of them, but they weren't like spankings kind of thing. And that's one promising thing, because the current Italian team, their under-20s team was fucking good like 5 or 6 years ago, and a lot of those guys have come through. So there's hope.
We're hoping for you.
We want you to do well. Rugby world is a much happier place when Wales is a fucking proper competitive side, hard team to beat.
They're like, they were a bee's penis away from being the, I think they, to be honest, I thought they did really deserve to be in the 2011 World Cup final. Mm. Mate, we're going back a wee while now, but it doesn't feel that long ago to old bastards like us.
Yeah, well, they made a semi-final against the Box in 2019. Yeah,
and that was a hard
fought. That was a fucking hard fought game. It was 100 points. What was the difference in that game? And then the quarterfinal last time, they kind of, the Gats era.
And that was, I think that was an overachievement.
Yeah.
In that particular game.
Yeah.
And then since then.
It's all been downhill.
Since. Celebrating. I want to say they've had two wins since the last World Cup.
They've beaten Japan twice.
How many? Hold on.
Have they beaten anybody else? They definitely beat Japan in Japan once, and they beat Japan in Wales.
Is the Welsh men's...
Tony's a Googling. They haven't won a Six Nations game in ages. Rugby
team had since the 2023, wasn't it? 2023.
There's at least two. Have they beaten anybody else? They lost to Georgia. They lost to Fiji. Didn't give you the answer.
Hold on, AI mode. Give me the answer. Searching. Three wins.
Who else did they beat?
The Wales men's rugby team had three wins in total since the conclusion of the 2023 World Cup. The Barbarians.
Oh, that doesn't really count, so it is two.
Yeah, it's just two against Japan. 31-22, and then in Cardiff they beat them in 24-23.
Okay.
Ouch.
Tough times.
How many... How many games have they played though?
Yeah. You don't need to Google that. Let's get on with the podcast. Oh. It's been rough. It's been slim pickings.
No wonder they can't sell their fucking stadium.
Tickets, yeah.
Yes. It's just fucking dire. So it's really a bummer.
Hmm.
Sucks dick.
Yeah.
Shit.
It sucks. Please get better.
Yeah, we like you good, Wales. We don't really get... I don't actually get that many comments on the podcast going, oh, it sucks being Wales. I think they're just... The public is just so disengaged from it that, you know... Rough. We want some Welsh viewers. We want some Welsh wins. Come on, Wales.
Did you watch any Super Rugby?
I watched the opening game, which I loved.
Opening game, barring a few early season errors, was a bit of a cracker.
And then I watched New South Wales, Queensland, which
That was tight. Also a bit messy in the last 15 minutes.
The pressure paid. Yeah. And then I was playing golf when Moana Pacifica and the Drua were playing.
Mm.
And then I was playing poker when the Blues and the Chiefs were playing.
Probably that was a good choice to play
poker. I was out on the background. And then I missed the Brumbies and the thing. Can I say two things?
You can.
One thing, actually.
Okay.
You know what I'm actually psyched that Super Rugby's back on.
Mm.
You know what? One of the things that's made me super pumped about it. I feel like I'm more excited this year than I have been in previous years.
Mm.
One of the things I'm most excited about is the old theme music is back. The guitar riff that.
I didn't even notice that, but
oh, that gives me hyped, man.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm like, yes, bring
it
that.
Used to have like the five New Zealand teams, like there'd be a Highland, like
exactly. Yeah, that brought me back. I was like, and that was when like Super Rugby was
peak,
fucking amazing. Yeah, so exactly. The music is so good.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So I was really psyched to hear that. That got me barred up. But fucking massive result straight off the bat.
Yeah, the Highlanders. The Highlanders
played great. And people have been writing off the Highlanders straight off the bat with the loss of
Fabian Holland.
And then Pledger. Yeah, well, I don't actually know a lot about, but people got massive raps on. Both out for the season. Really unfortunate for two young blokes who got full of promise. But then Jamie Joseph shows us why he's the next All Black coach. Gets it done against a hotly favoured Christchurch Crusaders team stacked full of All Blacks.
A lot of them were on the bench though.
Yeah, but they came on when the game was still up for grabs, and
they made a big difference.
And oh, you know who made a massive difference?
Will Jordan.
Fuck me, did you know what he reminded me of? He was brilliant. If you're trying to say he was brilliant, because Christian Cullen is God, but. What it reminded me of is like sometimes you'd be playing rugby with your mates and you're at someone's house and you're just going to a park and you're playing and it's a good game and you're having fun and stuff. And then for whatever reason, someone's older brother joins and they're like 3 years older and they just fucking carve up and you're like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
He looked like the big brother had joined and he was just way better.
We used to play rugby at lunchtime and then every now and again, one of the first 15 boys would come along and be like, oh, can I play? And
yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And then they'd carve you up.
They'd carve us up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
There's a reason. Run on the first of day. But yeah, he looks so good. He was amazing. Really a massive big fan of him. Number 10, who's got ice in his veins, scored.
Cameron Miller.
Oh, Miller time.
40-odd meter penalty. That was fucking amazing. For the winner.
Some great tries in that game. Really
the try for Jonah Lowe was crazy. Yeah. Great hands from the Highlanders. Caleb Tungitau being back, he's got lightning speed.
Lots he's one to watch.
Like about that game. That game was a great ad for Super Rugby. Great game, great upset.
Loved it.
Like even the Crusaders will, you know, you're not
going
to be.
Off.
Yeah, you got to take your hat off to them for putting in a cracking performance.
Where are the Crusaders? They're not completely back in their, like, are they in their new stadium this year?
Yeah, I think for Super Round, whenever that is, it's a bit later on in the season.
It's not quite ready yet?
I don't think so. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think they got a little bit still back in the dog shit.
I think so as well.
Fuck, I'm looking forward to not having... I miss Christchurch not having a great stadium.
Apollo Project Stadium, made of scaffolding.
Orange Theory.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that was a good game.
Cracking game.
Waratahs Reds was... It wasn't as good.
It was intense.
It was intense.
Yeah.
And it was close for 65 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that throughout that period, it looked like New South Wales, that the Waratahs were the better team, that they had dominance, but you were just thinking, are these plucky Reds, who look quite small, but mobile, are they just going to be able to hold and maybe squeeze one out at the end?
Yeah, because they scored like one try that was freaky when they got like, after they just conceded, the fucking loose forward hoofed one long, and Tim Ryan managed to go over, and I was like, oh, fuck, the Reds are not giving up on this game.
No, they certainly weren't. I felt like the pressure finally hit that breaking point in the last 20 minutes, and then they put it on them, and then...
Jorgensen. If Will Jordan's good, fucking so is Will... Well, not Will Jordan.
Jorgensen's great. I thought Potter had some really nice touches. Gamble. I like the look of Gamble in a lot of ways. I thought it was a really interesting battle seeing Gamble versus McWright. I think there's... And, you know, you put Suali in the mix of it all, who I think needs to... He's got all the skills in the world. But I'd really like to see him run some more direct lines.
Right.
I feel like he really drifts across the park a little bit too much. And then everyone drifts outside him, and then they just lose their space. I'd like to see him use some of his size a little bit get through the contact and then maybe put the offload through to guys in space rather than trying to just gas people on the outside. So you want
him to Sonny Billet?
Yeah. I think he's got the skill set to be able to do it, 100%. But he's just got to be brave enough to
go straight.
I'm sure he's a brave guy, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So you didn't watch much of Drua Moana?
I was in the golf club down at Southhead, which is fucking miles away. You know where Southhead is?
No.
It's miles away. Go to.
Is that Waiuku Way?
Nah, it's north. It's got to get to Helensville, and then once you get to Helensville, question why you've gone to Helensville. And then keep going out left. It's like you would have seen it on a map and gone, I've never been there.
Yeah, I probably haven't been there.
But yeah, Southhead.
Tony's showing me a map. It's the third time he's on his phone in the podcast.
Southhead Golf Club. So it's up there. It's that,
fucking hell.
So you know that bit.
Oh, that bit. The sticky outy bit.
The sticky, nobody ever goes to the sticky outy bit.
Why the fuck would you go there?
It's a golf club.
Holy shit.
So I went up. It's a good golf club. Really good course. Really enjoy it.
The peninsula, is it?
Yeah, and it's not that. It's never that, but never particularly busy because it's fucking miles away.
Nobody wants
takes
to go
about
there.
It takes about an hour to get there from here, but it's a real fun course.
So hour to get there. How many hours do you play golf?
About four.
And then an hour back. A 6-hour day.
Yeah, it's nice. Go up there with a mate and have a bit of a chin bag on the way up. Go up there, play some golf, talk some shit, have a couple beers on the course, have one at the 19th hole. Think to yourself, better head off now. Then drive home, talk some shit. Then I came back and played poker. Didn't win.
Moana won, which was a bit of an upset because it was in Lautoka, which is their fortress.
Yeah, right.
And Moana lost so many players in the offseason, including probably their best two players, Adi Savia to the sabbatical, and Kyron Tamoifalau, who's over the Chiefs.
A miracle Faialangi is the captain.
He's the captain, and he scored three tries.
He's looking.
They scored six tries in that game, five of them from their forwards. They were just fucking grunty as fuck.
Are they allowed to inherit? Are the Pacifica, one of Pacific players allowed to play for the All Blacks?
Yeah, well, Artie did.
Yeah, he did, of course.
But they're limited to the amount that can be non Tonga, Fiji, Samoa eligible.
Yeah, right.
It's like four or something.
I'd say a good over half of them will be New Zealand born, though, wouldn't they?
Or more.
Yeah.
The vast majority of New Zealand born.
That's what I'm saying, over 50%.
Okay.
Yeah, over 50% is still 99%. So surely if you're Kiwi born, you're eligible.
Oh, yeah, as long as they've got a Samoan grandparent or parent. Yeah, or Tongan or Fijian.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, their forwards just went to work. And the Fijians, I think I like the stats.
Had a rust?
Because I like stats.
You do, you're a stats man.
They both had the same amount of 22 entries.
How many?
I think it was 9 each or 12.
Mm-hmm.
But
the
score was 40-26. So Fiji just didn't defend in their own 22.
I can't believe people are playing rugby in Fiji right now.
This time, yeah, fucking hell.
So fucking hot over there. Jeez Louise. I remember I went there in April a couple of years ago and the rugby season was still going. Mm. I was like, it was stinking hot.
Like that day where we were here and it was humid as fuck?
Way worse.
Way worse. Oh, yeah. That was bad like, enough. I was sweating buckets.
You should have seen my grundle when I was in Fiji. It was a paddling pool. And then, yeah, and playing golf over there was like too much. But like, this is dumb weather to play golf. But right. I can't imagine playing rugby. So,
yeah, but yeah, Moana did the job. I feel like that result, like remember Scotland's result losing to Italy in the opening round? Like, this is a bad result for the Drua.
Yeah.
Because the Drua are basically relying on, we need to win all our home games
at Lotoko.
And fucking hope we can get at least one on the road this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
we can squeak into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Moana Pacifica is a banker at home in Lotoko.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they fucking got thumped.
Were they just playing with a bit of rust or?
A bit of rust, missing a few players, and then just didn't have the same fire in the belly as the Moana guys. Just up the guts. Yeah, right. Man.
Nice. Be interesting to see where Moana end up the season.
Yeah.
So you've got to hold out a little bit of hope for them. It was a shame that they lost the winger. What's his name?
Tom Wifalau.
Yeah, he's playing for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It's a shame.
Speaking of the Chiefs, they beat us.
Hey, just one thing about the Blues versus the Chiefs. You know, the Vaii try dives over.
Yeah.
The Super Rugby's come out and said that was a mistake. He shouldn't have been awarded that try. I
thought so. That because there was three of those this weekend. Dan Sheehan did it for Ireland, denied.
Yeah.
The Waratahs game had it. Amositiro tried it, denied.
Yeah.
And Vaii did it, and it was a try.
And he...
And people were like, oh, well, it's right for this and it's not right for that. And I'm sitting here as a guy who watches a lot of rugby going, I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes if you catch up with your mate who hasn't watched any rugby in like 2 years, and they're like, there's a head contact and you'll go to them, no, that's only going to be a red or it's going to be yellow because of this. And they're like, I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can usually...
You're the explainer.
I get it. Yeah, I understand this is going to be this and that's going to be that.
Yeah, yeah.
This rule, I watched that and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why that's a try and the other two games were not a try.
Well, Super Rugby came out, their officiating team or whatever, and said that was a mistake. That should not have been awarded a try.
That fucks us over.
Yeah, we lose a game because of it. Because it was tight that game, wasn't it?
It was. It was only fucking, what, 15-19?
Yeah, yeah. And we great line by... so it ended up with Cortez
Sullivan. Oh, for our try. That was a nice one.
Yeah, but what
Ratsamo at the end, yeah, that was a good try.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was very nice. Who made the other?
Finau had the initial break, and then he got it to Vaii and Vaii
went through
Ratsamo.
Went through Pidaraki.
The thing about that game, because you were busy playing poker.
Yeah,
we got a penalty. We were in front, and then we had another penalty. We were mauling it up there, so we're in front by like three.
Yeah,
and we've got a maul. We're down their end. The mall's just kind of trucking along. You can see the Chiefs, I think it's Vaii, coming through the mall. You can see he's getting fucking close to that ball.
Don't get through
the big mitts of him are getting really close to that ball. I'm sitting there going, use it, you dick. Fucking get it out. He's going to, you can see it. It's like it's slow motion.
Look at the fire coming off his mouth.
Fuck me days. And then the referee's like, use it once. And then I'm like,
you're done.
Didn't fucking use it. Yeah. Maul turnover, and then I think they got two penalties from that, and then Ratsamo's try.
Oh, one thing because
the Blues just fucking they play well enough to make me think we might win this, just to fucking lose it.
Is it?
I hate that shit. At least just get flogged. Just get flogged.
don't give me hope.
Think we're gonna
don't
win it.
Don't give me hope.
Honestly, fuck off with that shit.
Shit. We were keeping an eye on it during the game, but then I said to my mate Aaron, and I said I think. We were ahead, and it was in that last quarter when they were in that attacking thing. I was like, I reckon we're going to lose this. And he was like, yeah, we'll lose this. And then they went ahead.
See, I had that thought, but I was like, no, maybe we're going to win it.
Maybe we'll hold on.
When we got that more, I was thinking, maybe we're going to win it.
Maybe we can do it. Apparently not.
Yeah, I was pissed off with that.
It's okay. You want a hug? He has intimacy issues. He's not good at showing affection.
Not much of a hugger.
It's okay. There.
Honestly, the Blues annoy me more than the All Blacks.
Yeah, they certainly do.
I don't know what it is. They fuck me off so
much. Yeah. Because I really want the Blues to win. If I had watched the whole game, I'm sure I'd be there with you emotionally. But because I was playing poker, losing money.
Yeah. I think I swore at the TV, stormed off to my room and did a video.
Masturbated furiously.
Exactly.
Just not on camera.
Just let it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can't see my bottom half when I'm doing the videos.
How are your Super Rugby videos rating this year?
Yeah.
Same?
Yeah.
Not.
Well, the early days. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully.
The other game was the Force against the Brumbies. I watched the start of it. I didn't finish it off because I had to get up to watch the Six Nations the next morning at stupid o'clock. But Force went out to a 10-0 lead.
Ba-boom.
And then conceded 4 tries in a row. And then they scored another one. And then the Brumbies scored 2. And then they scored another one. And the Brumbies scored 2. So the Brumbies won it 56 points to 24.
Right. I have not watched a single highlight of that one. Mm. The one of the game that I've caught nothing of.
Yeah. It was predictable.
What are the clashes for next week?
Hurricanes are coming off their initial bye to host Moana.
Okay. Hopefully they can get off with the win, they'll be thinking.
Waratahs are hosting the Drua.
Oh, in Sydney? Okay.
I think the Waratahs
will win. Yeah, I think I get the Tars that.
The Highlanders are playing the Chiefs, 2 winning sides.
I think, whereabouts are they playing?
In Dunedin.
So Chiefs are getting a couple of weeks away from home to kick off the year.
I think uni starts this week down in Dunedin too.
If they can get 2 wins on the road, that would be a real strong start for them.
I'd like to see the Landers win that one.
I'd like to see the Landers win, but I think Chiefs will.
Force are hosting us, the Brother Blues.
So we've got a long trip to fucking Perth.
Yeah.
Shit. And then we've got to travel the fucking way back. Banana peel.
I hope we win that one.
I hope we win that one too.
And then the Crusaders are playing the Brumbies.
Traditionally, we always think about the Brumbies as if they're the best team.
From Australia.
In Australia. Sure. Jeez, 2 losses on the skid for the Crusaders. It'd be a great start to the season. Jeez, I love watching the Crusaders lose. I cheer the teams that are playing the Crusaders as if they're my team. I really do.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
The rest of the country doesn't return that favour for us.
They
would still rather see us lose, even though the Crusaders always win. Even when we play the
Crusaders?
Win. Yeah. Remember that final we played at Eden Park against them?
Yeah.
And they were on like 5 in a row at that time?
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, at least this is the one time they'll be cheering for Auckland. But no, there were heaps of people on the radio going, oh, fuck Auckland. Hope you lose. And we did.
I hope they enjoy those taxes we pay. That's how you wire.
You alerted me the fact that Dalton is leaving at the end of the season.
That's how you wind up people from outside of Auckland.
While drinking a latte.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I had a latte the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Felt like an Aucklander.
I order a small oat milk flat white.
You're more of an Aucklander than I am.
That's my go-to order. Yeah. I do feel like a jackal.
Do you drive a, what is it? They drive a Remuro tractor? It's like Land Rover or something?
You know what I drive.
That's true. It's not a four-wheel drive. It's a car.
It's a car. Skoda Octavia. If you must know.
It's like a Robin Reliant. No.
Yeah. Real men drive Skodas.
Yeah, yes. Dalton at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Not waiting to see the new All Blacks coaches. He's off to France.
He's gone. He's gone for that money. Can't blame him.
It's
probably all the negotiations for that. It's been in the works for months.
I think like Vern Cotter, it would have been in the works for a wee while.
Yeah. And he's like, well.
28 years old.
Time to make some coins for the next 8 years or so. Perhaps.
Yeah, at least 5.
I think he's still a real quality
player. Real good player. A couple of years in France, a couple of years in Japan.
Yeah, fair enough.
Something like that.
Set yourself up, young man. Well done.
He's a good player.
Very good player. Did we get the best out of him?
No, I don't think we did. Maybe at Blues level we did. I don't know that we got the best out of him for the All Blacks. I don't know if they found a quite role for him. They never fully backed him as the 7. They gave him, like, I think one series. Did Razor give him the initial run against England, I think? Maybe he gave him a few games in a row, but he never really got full backing at 7.
Well, the rumour that I heard was that he was asked to come back and play for the All Blacks. This is a rumour, allegedly. I don't know the truth of it. I'm not saying as if it was true, but what I heard was he was playing with the All Blacks 15 at the end of last year, and they requested he came up to play for the All Blacks for a tier, or be part of the squad in some sort of way, and he turned them down.
Mm-hmm.
such was the state of the All Blacks
last year.
Last year. And we didn't really understand. We didn't know what was going on.
We didn't.
Yeah. But you know what's going on, Mark?
The end of this rugby podcast.
That's right, called
2 cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast.
Honestly, if you want to sponsor us, buy us some beers.
So we don't have to sit here drinking.
It's Six Nations time.
Yeah.
Everyone's interested.
Yeah.
We'll read out some stuff for your company or service or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
I might screen you this time in case you want us to read erotica.
Yeah, that was weird. But don't be that guy.
Send me an email. My email's down in the description. 2centsrugby@outlook.com.
You should probably start the podcast with this.
I should. Because there's only two guys listening to that. I don't own businesses.
Yeah, exactly. And they go, well, look, I would, but
I don't have a business.
I'm just at home masturbating.
I'm just furiously masturbating.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna do something exciting. We're gonna be in a posher environment later in the week.
Oh, that's true. On Thursday.
Oh wow!
An actual studio instead of having a camera set up in a bedroom.
We won't be recording this, and we'll be on our best behavior.
Well, I'm always on. Well, am I?
No, you swear on this.
Okay, I won't be swearing.
You say, for fuck's sake, the fucking Blues. Yeah, you get passionate about it.
Mm.
You've sworn on this podcast 1,000 times more than you've sworn on your own channel.
This like, is probably true.
Even though this is on your channel.
Yep. I know what you mean.
The worst thing you've ever said on your own channel was when you were talking about
Darcy Swain.
Darcy Swain.
What a piece of shit.
I don't usually swear this, but what a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I still, when I think about that, I think of Rian Lowe's tweet. Like we said, how I describe eggplant lasagna. It's like, I don't usually swear, but what a piece of shit.
Oh, Rian's a good guy.
Yeah, it's very funny. Very funny. All right, well done, Mark.
All right, champ.
Great work. All right, thank you for listening, watching, whatever you're doing. Hide it up. Bye-bye.